This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:17 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So for our last story today, we've been seeing a lot of different methods to catch the attention of voters in Malacca, from social media to bicycling to Squid Game. We're going to find out more.
So, just to be clear, on the 24th of October, the Health Ministry did ban all activities, gatherings and social meetings related to political campaigning for the Malacca polls from the 25th of October all the way to the 27th of November. And since then, there's been a list of do's and don'ts that have been issued. And, you know, COVID times. So this includes things like a ban on physical campaigns, charama, house visits, walkabouts. And candidates are allowed to campaign via vehicles with speakerphones, but only during designated hours. So this has led to a number of creative ideas in terms of how candidates are campaigning. Just to run through a list of some of them. Some are kind of low-key, some are pretty outlandish. There are small-scale meet and greets at restaurants or community centres. BN's Lindu candidate, Dato' Sri Sulaiman Mohammad Ali, for instance, engages in small talk rather than giving speeches. PN's Bakri Jamaluddin cycled through several neighbourhoods in Klebang. We have PN Serkam candidate Ahmad Bilal Rahuddin campaigning with a rolling billboard in the form of a bus plastered with images of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and Tan Sri Abdul Hadi Awang. The one that's been catching the most attention, certainly on social media, is DAP. DAP campaigners dressed up as Squid Game characters and distributed cards that look like the invitations from the TV show. And the cards read, "Do you dare to take the challenge? Let's win Malacca together." I've watched Squid Game. I'm not sure whether that's the most enticing invitation. But I think my favourite is probably the Serkam independent candidate, Dato' Norazlan Shahazali, who basically walked along the main roads on a horse with a campaign poster on the saddle.
Yeah, I think, you know, the horse is clearly the winning move here. I agree. I think that the DAP Squid Game thing is very strange because it capitalizes on a big pop culture moment. But the big pop culture moment is about like murder and mayhem.
And I'm not certain. And capitalism.
Yeah. I'm not sure necessarily that that's the best way to get your campaign message across. But anyway, a lot of different methods being employed. We want to know, would you enjoy these types of campaign moves? You can weigh in. And now we're crossing over to our guest to unpack this. It's James Chai, political analyst. James, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, good evening, both.
So what was your reaction on hearing about these new sorts of political overtures? Which one stood out to you?
Yeah, so I'm actually quite impressed with the level of creativity our politicians have. Because let's face it, right, this state election has been quite uninspiring and quite lethargic for most people. There isn't any central message that's brought by any particular coalition, nor is the candidate really known outside of their small circle. So I think that putting limitations has actually inspired politicians to be more creative. And maybe we should consider making it a more permanent fixture if that gives us the best out of them. Now, certainly the Squid Game one was a fresh idea, but I thought the horse one really stood out for me, where this independent candidate, who was some dato, right? The reason why it stood out for me was because I thought it achieved no real purpose there. The horse has always been a symbol of a great wealth in this country. And I also realized that the horse that he used to parade around his constituency was also highly impractical, right? See, he doesn't get closer to voters. And the sign that he attached on his horse was actually also falling off. So these are really the kind of occasions where it tests your true ability to think through whether your method has a practical element besides the gimmick that it serves.
Right. So how do you feel these new campaigns are faring in terms of gaining actual public engagement?
Now, generally, I think that the future of a lot of things, including politics, is going to be hyper-local. which means that how some of the candidates carry out their campaigning by going door to door, going to really small settings like restaurants, warungs, is going to be the future. Because as technology gets more advanced, we also realize that different constituencies, although very proximate to each other, are actually very different. And therefore, I think what was learned from GE14 as well is that large-scale dramas that are high cost and low impact would probably not work anymore. However, I do think that there's a distinction between drawing attention to the election and actually voting for one party, which means that I think whatever you can do in these 12 days of campaigning, it's good to draw people's attention that they have to vote and there's an election going on. And in a lot of constituencies, they treat it like a social event that they have to participate together. That's good. However, I don't think that there is much impact in terms of translating that into votes for a particular party or to change a person's minds through small actions like that. Instead, I think small actions like that, if they were to have an impact, it has to carry out in the months before an election, because during that 12 days of campaigning, people have mostly made up their mind. The only decision is whether to go out to vote.
Do you think that different kinds of approaches appeal to different demographics? Because we said, right, there's pop culture, there's a horse, there's small talk. Mm. It's a lot of different things being thrown at people at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, once again, generally, it always depends on the hangout spot of that particular demographic. So what is most evident that is possible for us to generalize is that the older populace would definitely prefer like restaurants and coffee shops, because in politics, what it essentially boils down to is the gossips that are formed. That influences what that particular person would bring back to their family. And that family, if you have that thought a couple of times, that has become your stance in that community. So that's normally how political opinions are formed. And whereas young people definitely would prefer more online methods, because that's really just where they hang out. But I think specifically, regardless of what method you use, there needs to be a high level of relatability in the content that you push out. So very often, a lot of the methods will be secondary, especially when there are more and more online platforms that are mushrooming in the future. What your message is and how you're going to package your message is really more important than the medium itself.
So speaking of relatability, though, when we look at something like DAP's Squid Game approach, taking this deeply pop culture, meme culture driven approach, is that something that would work? What do you make of that?
Well, I actually think the Squid Game aesthetics was really quite attractive. And I think why Squid Game worked as, let's say, this Netflix phenomenon is because of the gamification element, right? So I think that other than the gimmick, nothing really was carried out. Whereas I think that they could have carried more gamification and made it a little bit more fun. But I think like any gimmicks like that would always have the risk of backfiring. So this one was fine. I think it drew attention to something that people have watched before and therefore relatable as well. But I could imagine that politicians getting into pop culture would always risk being trying too hard or being very tacky, right? So I think the heart of it is that if you can, you actually, as a politician, if you actually watch these films or dramas and you do love it and you want to use it as a tool, that's really good. But fundamentally, I think it's about authenticity. And if you are not able to relate to what most people are talking about, then try to just stay in your lane. I think that's the general message that would apply well for most politicians.
And how do you see these campaigns impacting youth voters? If not in Melaka, then at least in the future?
It's very hard to gauge what youth voters respond to. But what I do know is that they primarily form their political opinions remotely and through the online space. And the challenge for politicians down the road is that you cannot keep banking on, let's say, one platform or Facebook working forever. And you need to start thinking about diversifying the format in which you reach voters. And therefore, it means that any politician who does not have a team that is very savvy in the latest trends and trying to harness it as much as possible would be left behind. And therefore, it very much comes down to how quickly politicians embrace these new platforms that would prove to be relatable to young people. I think young people are also getting away from platforms that are no longer as attractive, or let's say they are polluted or corrupted by a certain political agenda as well, like Facebook. And therefore, that's something that politicians have to also be very wary down the line.
So we just have about a minute left. But on the other side of that, what about older voters? When we talk about using social media to do this sort of outreach, does that cover enough ground? Do they need to be looking at other platforms?
Yeah, so for older populace, I think the personal touch that they have of being very visible within a constituency seems to still make a difference. Now, I know this simply because of what I read about this candidate called the Hulk. I've forgotten his name. It's like Noor Harizam or something, right? So a lot of people in the constituency actually said that, yes, he does look like a gangster and maybe he is very fierce looking. But you know what? He actually comes down every single day and tries to solve our problems. So it does seem that the older populace still responds to a lot of things like that that would help them overcome whatever shortcomings that the candidate would otherwise have in the main screen. And that's why I think that for the older populace, it's still very much like whether you can be the chief of their community and they can feel like you are one of us.
James, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was James Chai, political analyst, weighing in on Malacca and the new forms of campaigning we're seeing. After the 7:30 news, it'll be popcorn culture. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.